Welcome to the KMUD News. I'm your news director, April Lewis, and I'm glad to be with you for this broadcast. In this episode, we have stories on Humboldt MAID seeking a regional expansion and a local earthquake fault near Covelo even scientists don't fully understand. But first, quite a few local updates. This is KMUD News. Starting off with a missing person report off Alder Point Road in southern Humboldt. 14-year-old Natalia has been reported missing from her home off Alder Point Road. According to the mother, Amelia Broussard, via reporting by Redheaded Black Belt, Natalia was last seen when she left home around 4:10 p.m. on Sunday, July 12th. Their home is approximately 10 miles up Alder Point Road on the Highway 36 side. 14-year-old Natalia is described as 5'3" tall, with brown hair and blue eyes, weighing approximately 120 to 130 pounds. Natalia, unfortunately, did not have any belongings or a cell phone with her when she was last seen. Anyone who has seen Natalia or has information that could lead to her whereabouts should call the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office at 707-445-7251. Next, a press release from Indivisible Trinidad on their efforts to collect enough signatures for a November ballot initiative concerning warehouse development in Humboldt County's coastal zone. Organizers of a citizen-led ballot initiative opposing Amazon's proposed warehouse and distribution center in McKinleyville announced the measure will not appear on the November ballot. Despite an outpouring of community support, the petition drive by the group Save Our Coast did not collect enough verified signatures to meet the state-mandated threshold in time for submission. Canvassers collected more than 4,300 voter signatures in 10 days, but ran out of time to reach the required 4,864 signatures in time for them to be verified. The county elections office would have had to verify the signatures and send the measure to the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors for approval by August 7th to qualify for the November ballot. But the board does not meet from July 14th through August 11th. Organizer Tina Freeland said that she was gratified by the enthusiastic support for the initiative, which would have restricted the size of warehouse facilities within the coastal zone. Quote, "We understood from the first that time was short to secure the required signatures," Freeland said, "but well over 4,000 signatures were collected in a 10-day period. That should send a message to Amazon and the county." Meanwhile, the Board of Supervisors also considered Save Our Coast's request to place the question on the ballot, but the board determined that it could not, citing time constraints and differences in requirements between government-initiated action and a citizen-led initiative. A red flag alert from the National Weather Service. The National Weather Service in Eureka has issued a red flag warning, which is in effect from 1 p.m. Tuesday to 2 a.m. Wednesday. Affected areas include Trinity County, northeastern Humboldt County, and southwestern Siskiyou County. Isolated to scattered dry thunderstorms Tuesday afternoon and evening, activity may continue overnight into early Wednesday morning. Also, gusty and erratic outflow winds, likely with any thunderstorms. Winds may gust to 50 miles per hour or higher with the strongest cells. Any fires that develop will likely spread rapidly. Outdoor burning is not recommended. Red flag warning means that critical fire weather conditions are either occurring now or will shortly. A combination of strong winds, low relative humidity, and warm temperatures can contribute to extreme fire behavior. Moving on to a press release from the Smith River Alliance. After this year's Independence Day revelry, an impressive array of volunteers converged in Crescent City. On Crescent Beach, South Beach, Beachfront Park, and points beyond. Over 100 dedicated individuals contributed more than 250 cumulative hours rounding up spent fireworks, cigarette butts, and abandoned gear and clothing. All told, the cleanup effort yielded over 2,000 pounds of trash and removed a massive amount of microplastics that would have otherwise entered the food chain and polluted local waterways. The annual 5th of July cleanup is a collaborative effort led by the Redwood Parks Conservancy, Redwood National and State Parks, and the Smith River Alliance. Environmental services staff at Elk Valley Rancheria stepped up to recruit volunteers and haul off an enormous cache of abandoned gear. The City of Crescent City and the Crescent City Del Norte Chamber of Commerce provided vital publicity and logistical support. Local businesses were also key partners. And Del Norte Solid Waste Management Authority waived fees to ensure prompt and proper disposal and recycling. According to Smith River Alliance Associate Director Mike Splain, quote, "It takes a village to keep our unrivaled coast wild and beautiful. We are all in this together. Every action today makes a difference tomorrow." While these hardworking volunteers and partners contributed over $9,000 worth of labor to the noble objective, the annual 5th of July cleanup is just one element of a broader solution. As thousands flock to Del Norte County's grand scenery and mild climate, a range of organizations and individuals are putting in the sweat equity today and every day to ensure that this special place remains healthy, clean, and trash-free. Enjoy and explore, but please pack out what you pack in and leave America's Wild Rivers Coast better than you found it. Next, new street demonstration projects coming to Humboldt County. Humboldt County Road saw 165 fatal collisions between 2018 and 2024, an annual average well above state and national figures. In response, the Humboldt County Association of Governments, also known as the HCAOG, has committed to a regional Vision Zero policy with the goal of eliminating serious injuries and fatalities on our roads. In partnership with local cities, HCAOG is rolling out a series of temporary traffic calming measures across the county this summer. These demonstration projects are part of the Humboldt County Vision Zero Action Plan, project funded by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Safe Streets and Roads for All program. Demonstrations are an important step towards a safer future. What and where are the safety demonstrations? In Arcata, 6 rubber speed humps will be installed along 11th and K Streets, accompanied by radar speed feedback signs. In Ferndale, speed humps, pavement markings, and bike lane striping along 5th Avenue between Arlington Street and Shaw Avenue. In Eureka, temporary mini roundabout striping, wheel stops, and delineators at the intersections of Pine Street and West Hawthorne Street, and at Humboldt Street and G Street. In Fortuna, programmable radar speed feedback signs along the 12th Street and Ross Hill Road school corridors. Installation schedules and duration vary, but all projects will be installed by the end of July and remain up for 8 to 12 weeks, or longer for radar feedback signs. Each city will measure vehicle speed before and during the demonstration project. Community feedback gathered during the projects will also be incorporated into findings about what types of traffic safety interventions help road users feel safe. These data points will be incorporated in the final Vision Zero Action Plan, expected in late 2026. Once complete, the plan will outline engineering and policy-driven solutions to eliminate traffic fatalities and serious injuries from our region's most dangerous road. The plan will be used by various cities in Humboldt County for securing state and federal road safety grants to implement infrastructure improvements. From the Junction City Volunteer Fire Department in Trinity County. Friday afternoon at approximately 4:45 p.m., the Junction City Volunteer Fire Department responded to a report of an accident west of Junction City Store. After searching the area, JCVFD was flagged down by a couple on ATVs on the opposite side of the riverbank. Upon closer inspection, a full-size pickup truck was spotted, fully submerged in the Trinity River. The occupant had self-extricated and was located sitting partially submerged in the water down a steep embankment below the highway. CAL FIRE and the Weaverville Fire Department responded with mutual aid for assistance, performing a high-angle rope rescue, and the patient was brought up the embankment in a stroke basket for a medical evaluation. CHP is investigating the cause of the accident. And last before our main stories, a final update on the milepost fire in Hoopa Valley. Fire crews have reached a major milestone as the milepost fire, located between Hoopa and Weechpec, is now 100% contained. The fire remains at 104 acres, with 130 personnel continuing suppression repair and rehabilitation efforts. State Route 96, which had been fully closed and then reopened with one-lane traffic control, is scheduled to be fully opened in both directions by the time of this broadcast. The milepost fire began in the early hours of Wednesday morning. What started as approximately 10-acre fire on Wednesday quickly triggered evacuation warnings across a large swath of the Hoopa Valley and the closure of State Route 96. It also led to the closure of the Hoopa Valley Airport due to air quality. By Thursday, the fire had grown to 80 acres and agencies achieved 40% containment, and crews on Friday reopened State Route 96 for one-way traffic. By Friday, the fire had only grown a reported additional 7 acres with 68% containment. By noon today, July 13th, the major milestone of 100% containment was achieved, with 130 personnel still working on the milepost fire. A huge thanks to the Hoopa Fire Department, the North Coast Interagency Incident Management Team, Yurok Wildland Fire, the U.S. Forest Service, Blue Lake Rancheria Fire, and CAL FIRE for their work dealing with this blaze. And next, our main stories. This is KMUD News. Humboldt Made, seeking to expand local business collaboration to a regional level. Daniel Mintz reports.
Humboldt Made has supported local businesses since 2010, and as it builds collaboration, its executive director envisions a new direction for it, expanding its scope into a Redwood Regional Made program. The goal of uniting North Coast small businesses into a powerful regional team was described as a new goal during a June 8th online presentation to the Community Economic Resilience Consortium by Humboldt Made's executive director, Rosa Dixon. Humboldt Made is a nonprofit organization supporting local product makers through a variety of activities, including marketing, events, and tourism promotion. Humboldt Made's members, there are 170 of them, have benefited from promotional programs and participation in events, mixers, and food product expos. Local businesses have also benefited from collaboration, which Dixon sees as a plus that can be expanded.
Humboldt Made is doing something that's unique, which is we are not competing, we're collaborating. And that is really an important distinction. And we're stronger when we're together. And, you know, this is something I have this vision that I've had for a long time, which is we expand that to the four counties, right? And we have this Redwood Regional Made program that has a really strong impact on the Northwest Redwood Curtain Coast. And so I've applied for a grant twice to get funding for it. I haven't gotten it. I still think it's an incredible idea. I've talked with Del Norte and Mendocino and Lake County, and they don't have enough makers to have their own, but all of us together would just, it would be perfect. We could do shows together. We could have workshops together. And so that's where I'm hoping it's going to go.
Ross Welch is executive director of North Edge Financing, which was formerly known as the Arcata Economic Development Corporation before it expanded its business support to surrounding counties. He vouched for the regional approach, saying, quote, "People really want to shop local in our area and see the benefit," he said, adding, "the effect can be strengthened," quote, "if we could just boost the regional stuff a little bit more." Calder Johnson of Redwood Region Rise highlighted the combined economic effect of numerous small businesses.
This is something that I've been vocal about in the past. I do think that sometimes there is a tendency for funding to drift towards singular, large, big projects, because that's often how we tend to think about things. I talk to some people sometimes or get the feeling that like we want that next one big thing that's just going to solve all of our economic problems in the region, right? Like what's the next big company or the big industry or that one big thing, right? And I think that often obscures the importance of, and everything that Rose has been talking about here today, of small businesses, of the aggregation of small businesses spread throughout the region that are really, ultimately the huge economic powerhouse. And so absolutely, I'm always here big thumbs up for any sort of support, financial support and funding support for programs that accelerate, incubate, nourish, and create more small businesses in our region.
Will Franklin, director of the Small Business Development Center of Humboldt and Del Norte Counties, said his organization is well positioned to assist the regional vision.
There's some really good synergy going on. We're, like Rosa said, we're passing clients back and forth and doing so much more than either one of our organizations can do alone. So I'm really excited to continue that. And I also see a way forward in Lake, Mendocino, and Del Norte as a region, given SBDC's organization already. So I want to just let everybody know that Rose and I are going to push this, and because this is a magic sauce, this little collaboration. And it's just another great example of we can do so much more by not reinventing the wheel, but using partners that have their own expertise. So thank you, Rosa, for partnering, and I can't wait to do more.
Dixon said this year will be, quote, the year that I really want to see us going after some grants and really developing some of these programs, because there's no reason to not keep pushing and to make this regional. For KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
A geology professor breaks down what shook Covelo Friday night and why the fault behind it has scientists and PG&E watching closely. Reporter Lisa Music brings you the details.
A swarm of earthquakes shook the hills north of Covelo Friday evening. This reporter talked with Cal Poly Humboldt Emeritus Professor of Geology, Lori Dangler, about an hour after the biggest one hit.
What I know so far, and this is from USGS, is that we had a sequence that began at a little after 3 p.m. with a magnitude 3.8, located north to northwest of Covelo. And that earthquake was felt in the Covelo area. Haven't seen any felt reports from much further away from that. And then over the next couple of hours, there were four smaller quakes that nobody seems to have reported feeling. Maybe some people right on top of it did. These were all in the magnitude 1.7 to 2.7 range. But the, quote, big excitement was when a magnitude 4.4 earthquake happened at 6:14 p.m. That earthquake was initially estimated at a 4.2. Right now I'm seeing it as a 4.4, could still change a little bit. My hunch is that will probably stick. And certainly a 4.4 is strong enough to be felt by many in the Covelo area, and we have a couple of felt reports from Fort Bragg, Willits, and I've got one report from Ukiah at this point. So what we know about the earthquakes so far is probably they're on or very close to the Bartlett Springs Fault. We know the earthquakes, the two larger ones, are relatively shallow, roughly 6-7 miles beneath the surface, which we consider shallow. The 4.4 is clearly a strike-slip earthquake, probably north-northwest trending. Right now, the locations of the aftershocks aren't good enough to give us an orientation. I don't know if anyone's going to be going up there to put in some portable instruments, but we don't have a few seismic instruments and they're fairly far away, you have a hard time getting a lot of control. Now, I don't know, there may be, PG&E may have some instruments in that area. So there are a lot of things I don't know at this point, if there are perhaps some other instruments that recorded it.
That gap in data is part of why PG&E is watching this fault so closely.
This is interesting. It's particularly interesting to PG&E, because of Powder Valley. And they've probably done the most research on the Bartlett Springs of anyone I know, trying to really estimate what its potential is, because there's a dam not too far away.
That dam is Scott Dam on Lake Pillsbury, which PG&E is already working to remove. A 2023 seismic risk review led the utility to leave the dam spillway gates permanently open, cutting the lake's storage by about a quarter. Reporting from Friends of the Eel River found the dam sits nearly on top of the Bartlett Springs fault zone. Congressman Jared Huffman has said a PG&E engineer once told him that Scott Dam is the piece of infrastructure that keeps him up at night.
The estimates based on, you know, kind of long-term deformation rates and based partly on what we see the Myokama doing is it could produce a magnitude 6.3 to maybe 7.2 earthquake. And that kind of depends on, you know, how long the rupture is. And there's increasing research and interest in how all of these faults may be linked. So when you look at the whole fault system, we have the Hayward Fault that runs through the East San Francisco Bay Area, runs through San Pedro Bay, and then it jumps over to the Rogers Creek Fault, which seems to be a continuation, but there's a Rogers Creek Fault heads up. And then it jumps over to the Myokama or the Myokama. There's somewhat of a difference of opinion on the right way to pronounce it. And then we also have this Bartlett Spring system that runs a little further inland. So we use it throughout the maximum size of an earthquake based on how long the fault was. But we're learning that that doesn't always happen. And there was a big earthquake in New Zealand, the Kaikoura earthquake, which actually ruptured pieces of 26 different faults. So it kind of started running along, and then it jumped over to the next one, and then it jumped over to the next one. So, you know, that's an outside chance. You could potentially get something in the magnitude 7.5 range if you got all of these segments rupturing together. And who knows what the Bartlett Springs might think about that. I mean, at this point, we don't see a further extension to the south or north. As I say, only to the south.
So how worried should people be about Friday's earthquake sequence?
Clearly, a 4.4 is not going to be damaging. What does it mean for the future? Most likely, it's going to go back to sleep. But, I always have a but. It's possible that this is going to be a sequence that lasts a little longer, and there's always a small but real chance that a significantly larger earthquake could happen. The geologists and seismologists who've studied the Bartlett Springs, and PG&E's done a lot of work on it because they're very concerned because it could affect the Powder Valley area and project. Clearly, the lesson from this is for anyone who lives in the region where clearly it doesn't take much to produce landslides and to cut you off from where you normally want to go, be prepared. Be prepared to be on your own. I would say 2 to 3 weeks at a minimum, especially if you're in more rural parts of Mendocino, Lake County, Humboldt. And of course, it's not just two faults that could affect us. We've got lots of other faults that could also produce strong earthquakes.
Since the magnitude 4.4 earthquake, four small aftershocks have been recorded, the largest in magnitude 2.1.
The USGS does issue an aftershock forecast, and right now the forecast is there's a 12% chance of an aftershock in the magnitude 3 range. There's a 1% chance of another magnitude 4. And then the odds of anything bigger, I mean, they're still there, but they're minuscule. They're less than 1%.
With the four aftershocks following our Friday conversation, the magnitude 4.4 earthquake in Kovlo could be considered the main event, with the preceding smaller ones classified as foreshocks. The earthquakes in Kovlo rattled Mendocino County nearly 2 weeks after a magnitude 5.6 quake centered north of Redwood Valley and was felt as far north as southern Oregon and south to San Jose.
That earthquake was about 40 miles to the south of this one, probably not directly related. It was on a different fault. It was on the Mayacama Fault. This one looks to be on the Bartlett Springs Fault. Both of them are clearly related to the San Andreas Transform System. They're faults that run parallel to the San Andreas. The San Andreas in this area is mainly offshore. The Mayacama is 30 miles to the east. These two faults, the Mayacama and the Bartlett Springs, there are a lot of question marks about them because they haven't produced big earthquakes in historic times. And the Bartlett Springs, we know the least about.
Due to the lack of information on the Bartlett Springs fault, Dengler is hopeful this earthquake series will encourage, at least temporarily, monitoring of the area.
As I said, I'm hoping that someone goes up and puts a couple of instruments nearby because it would be really interesting to see the detail of the pattern.
Reporting for KMA News, I'm Lisa Music.
That's all for our news broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our rotation of broadcast engineers, Dennis Marr, Katie Phillips, Bianna Federico, Michael McCaskill, Larry Lashley, and Javier Rodriguez. Also thanks to our reporters, Lisa Music and Daniel Mintz. KMA News is now on streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening. You can also follow us on social media at KMA News, including Facebook and Instagram. Do you have issues important to you that deserve more attention? Other stories we're missing or that you're curious about? You can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kma.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, a national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located in the unceded territory of the Tsingkiyone, Wailaki, Wiat, Wilkut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to the region. I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.